I invite you, if you would, please, to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. My text will be a very familiar passage, verse 17, but would like to read verse 14 through the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll begin reading in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My text will be verse 17. When I was about 14, my parents divorced, and I stayed with my mother. Shortly after, we started attending a Baptist church in a nearby town. And this was the first time I'd ever been in a Baptist church. Well, anyway, we attended off and on for about a year or so, and then we moved to the metropolitan Dayton, Ohio area. But within that time, God brought about his marvelous work of salvation in my life. Late in the year of 1973, as we were in the house of the Lord, God began to bring great conviction in my soul. I couldn't shake the burden. Every week, under the preaching of the Word, my heart was heavy, more so when the invitation was given. I knew I was lost, and I was going to hell. I knew I needed the Savior, but I did all that I could to keep from responding. As the altar call would be given, I remember the battle raging in my soul. I remember gripping the back of the pew in front of me. I was not going to go forward. I fought the fight for weeks, and I refused to turn to Jesus. But then one day, on February 4th, 1974, I finally surrendered to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I was gloriously saved. Not because I walked an aisle, but because Christ came into my heart and gave me eternal life. 40 years ago, Jesus Christ gave me life. And I submit unto you that not only did he give me eternal life, but he changed my life forever. I profess unto you that since that day I've never been the same. I solemnly declare that I've been changed. And I want to speak to you today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a message which I've entitled, those three words, I've been changed. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for all your many blessings upon us and those who could be here. Lord, we ask for those who could not be here due to sickness or providential hindrance, that you would bless them, heal them, Lord, meet their needs. But we've come together today in your name to worship in spirit and in truth. And we ask that you would bless that as the word goes forth today, that you would just speak it to every heart. And we pray for those in our midst that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. We pray that you would grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, Lord, we've all been changed by your great grace and mercy, and we thank you for it. And Lord, cause us to love you more day by day. May everything that's said and done be to your glory and to your praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I say, my friends, I've been changed. I submit unto you that I'm not all that I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Now, God has worked in my life, and God made the difference. The song, I've Been Changed, by Mosey Lister, offers a glimpse of my experience, and yours too, if you've been saved. The second verse of his song says, well, my sins were as scarlet, they're white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. The chorus of that song says, well, I've been changed. I'm newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh, yes, I've been changed. It is my objective to discuss my change of heart and soul, and I shall do so considering our text. But in addition, I will also give you a number of other scriptures. And I do so not only for the purpose of offering a personal testimony, but also to give you an opportunity to search your own heart and to assess whether or not you have been changed. The first thing I want to do is, of course, look into our passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. There's a few terms I want to point out to you as we look into the text. He says that he is a new creature. The word new is a common term in the New Testament scriptures. And you know what it means? It means new. It means something that is recently made. But it just doesn't have to be a construction of an item. The nuance could be, it could be a change of character. It could be a change of mode. And so we'll say, well, that's a new person. Or, well, I'll do this a different way. I do it a new way. So the idea of new carries a variety of expression other than just something that's been recently made. But that's the word new. He says he becomes a new creature. Now the word creature, and often you'll hear when preachers preach from this text, they like to use the word creation. And in the original language, you know what? This word comes from a word which means the act of creating. It is a creation. And so this can well be a created thing. It is a creature. And so I have absolutely no problem with the King James translation where he says, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. But just the same for those who will say, I'm a new creation. That's not a problem for me either because I know what it says. And that's exactly the sentiment that is being conveyed. So Paul says that he is a new creature. That being said, he said old things are passed away. And that those two English words, passed away, means exactly that. It is to pass beside, to pass along. It is to be removed. It is to disappear, to vanish, to render void. He could say old things have been removed. It could have been translated, old things are made void. But it's the matter of fact that the old is done away with, the impact is gone. He says he's a new creature, old things are passed away, and of course we find at the end of that verse, behold, all things are become new, same word as the new creature. And so what do we find in the text? Just a few simple considerations. The first is this. There are two characters that are mentioned. We have the old and the new. Very evident from the text, isn't it? Now, the old is the natural condition. It is the existing condition. So we understand the Apostle Paul, when he talks about in the passage, old things are passed away. He's talking about who he was in his life before he came to know Jesus Christ. Who he was as his natural man and everything that he was. And Paul was an intelligent man. He was an educated man. He was a very zealous individual. But those are all old things. In the book of Philippians, he talks about all those old things and all of his fleshly attainments and achievements. And he says, I count them all refuse or count them but dung that I may win Christ. He doesn't depend upon his flesh. Those are the old things. And so we see the old and the new, and the old is the natural condition, the existing condition, as opposed to the new. The new is the renovation of the old, if I may say it that way. It's not a fixing of the old, it's actually the impartation of a new nature in Christ Jesus. But here's where the change comes in. Paul says that the old man has passed away, but he has become a new creature. And when the Lord saved me in February of 1974, I was an old man. Not physically, but I was an old nature, and I had the works of the flesh and of the world, and I was under bondage, and I was dead in trespasses and sin, and I was alienated from God. But when He saved me that day, He put those things behind me and gave me new life in Jesus Christ. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things are become new. February 4th, 1974, I was changed in my heart and in my soul. And for everyone here that you know that you're saved, every one of you can go back and you think in your mind, that has happened to me. And you may not be able to tell me the day, you may not be able to tell me the hour, but you don't have to, my friend. If you have life, you know you have life. And you know there's a difference in your life, and Christ is the one who made the difference. Paul says there's the old and there's the new, and the old has been passed away. And why is it that this change can take place? What brought this about? It's stated at the very beginning of the verse, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. If you're in Christ today, then old things have been passed away and all things have become new. It's a simple fact. Are you in Christ? You say, well, I don't exactly understand what it means to be in Christ. Well, let me express it this way. Jesus said that you must be born again. Actually, in the text, it means to be born from above. You have to have life from above. To be in Christ is to be born again. We can use the word conversion. Have you been converted? Well, conversion gives the expression of change, doesn't it? Contrast old to new. Nothing wrong with that word conversion. To be saved, my friend, to be in Christ is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to have life in Jesus Christ. You've been converted. Later on in the passage, he talks about reconciliation, how that they've been reconciled to God. You see, as a sinner, you're away from God, you're alienated from God, you're an enemy of God, but in Jesus Christ, things have been made right. The joint has been put back into joint. You're no longer out of socket. You've been reconciled with God. And that foundation for that was expressed in verse 21, where we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness was attributed to my account. I'm pure in the eyes of God based upon what Christ has done, not on anything that I have done. And on that foundation, my friend, on this fact that we have been made in Christ or been put in Christ, then we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yes, my friend, Jesus Christ saved me. And He brought me from death unto life, from darkness unto light. I was blind, but now I see. God put me in Christ. I have eternal life. I've been changed. And I was changed 40 plus years ago. I submit unto you one other thing. Once truly changed, there is no return. There is no return. I'm going to give you a jump. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 3. This is under my next point, but as you turn over there, I talked to a fellow one time. He said he could lose his salvation. And I said, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I don't think the Bible talks about how you can lose your salvation and that kind of a thing. But he thought he could lose his salvation, so I pointed to him in John chapter 10 where it says that we're in Christ's hand and all that, and no man can pluck you out of our Father's hand. And he says, yeah, but you can jump out. Now let me ask you, my friend, if you've been brought from death unto life, if He changed you from the old man to a new man, who in the world would want to jump out? Well, the fact is you can't jump out either, but he kind of thought that he could. But who would want to? Who would want to have eternal life and surrender it all? No one. No one. The old man to the new man. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The second point of my message, I just want to offer you some examples of change. I said that I have been changed. And if you're here and you're saved, you'd say, yes, I've been changed too. Then I would expect to see some evidence of it in your life. And you can expect to see some evidence of it in my life. I'm offering you some biblical examples of biblical change from the old man to the new. Now, the first one I've asked you to turn to is found in the book of Luke, the third chapter. And this is where John the Baptist is describing to those people coming unto him. He had told them to repent and believe. And so they had a kind of confusion about this repentance. What does it mean to repent? And he explains to them as they come and inquire. They say, well, what shall we do? Pick it up there in verse 10. The people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. What do you find here? What you find here is an explanation of change. No matter who came to him and said, what must we do? John references a change. Now that change is only going to come about in Christ. They're changing in their life. They're getting their ducks in a row, or they're just, I'm going to clean up my act. That doesn't save anybody. But when you're in Christ Jesus, you have new life in Him, and you expect a difference. And John expected a difference. Therefore, he said, this is what you do. This is what you... And you'll evidence those matter of things. And turn over to the 8th chapter, book of Luke. Luke chapter 8. I believe that you can come to Jesus Christ just as you are. I believe that with all my heart. They used to have a billboard down there near the airport that said something to that effect, you can come just as you are. That's true. But my friend, if you come to Jesus Christ and He saves you, you know what? You can't stay as you are because you've been changed. There's a difference. A lot of the mentality in modern Christianity is come as you are and stay as you are. You can be whatever you wish. It really doesn't matter, just as long as you have a fire escape from hell. There's no change, is there? No evidence of repentance, as John was expressing to those listeners. Here in the book of Luke, just see the difference. Do you think there's a change in the demoniac of Gadara? Pick it up in verse 26. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. This guy was filled with demons. He was demon-controlled. He was naked. He cut himself and cried himself. He lived in the graveyard. This guy was an absolute mess. Well, he comes before Jesus. Jesus, in short, casts out all the demons from him. They go into herd of swine, and they run down the hill and choke themselves in the sea. But God made a difference in this guy's life. Pick it up in verse 35. What's the difference? It says, then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Was there a change? When Jesus cast out demons, was there a change? Absolutely. This person was made different for the rest of his life. If you back up to the early part of the chapter, just a quick mention of Mary Magdalene. You've heard the name. This Mary stayed with Jesus, followed after him, and was a faithful servant and a follower of the Lord, a good disciple. But she wasn't always that. In chapter 8, verse 2, it says, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. This woman was demon-possessed. And again, Jesus cast out the demons. Was there a change? Was there a difference? Ah, there certainly was. Go to the book of Luke chapter 19. Aren't you glad I kept them all in the same book? Makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it? Luke chapter 19. You remember a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus? Old tax collector, cheat, crook, man. Yet, God saved him. See what difference comes out in Zacchaeus. Just pick it up in verse 10. You know how he went ahead, climbed up in the tree. Jesus looked at him and said, come down, Zacchaeus. And, well, Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You say, well, Zacchaeus was saved as a result of him giving his money to the poor and returning the money that he had cheated those people out of. No. Salvation came to his house. Jesus Christ saved him. He was made in Christ. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he said, I will give half of my... He became very rich by stealing from people all of his life as a publican, as a tax collector. And if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay him back. You know what that is? That's the evidence of a heart change. He was saved and there was a difference in him. Now there's another place I'd offer you to turn, and that's the book of John. This is the only place it's found, so I have to turn over here. Book of John chapter 8. And what I just quickly mention unto you is this woman who was taken in adultery. You remember that they caught this woman and this man in the act of adultery. They brought her to Jesus. They were going to have her executed. And they were doing it all to try to trick Jesus and try to catch him into some sort of wrong action. And Jesus acted as though he didn't hear, scratched in the dirt, and said, lifted up his head and said, if any of you have no sin, let him be the first to cast a stone. And Jesus began riding in the dirt again. And all the accusers began to be convicted about that. And they all left from the oldest to the youngest. Pick it up there in John chapter 8, verse 10. And when Jesus lifted up himself, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Notice the very next words he says to her, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. We have a generation within Christian society that says, come to Christ, walk an aisle, make a profession, and live however you wish. Jesus would have never said that. He would look at anyone coming to him, and he would say, go and sin no more. He makes changes, my friend. He changes lives. He changes hearts. I'm an example of it. And if you're saved, you're an example of it as well. I will offer you a text out of the book of Ezekiel. Don't turn over there. But the scriptures talk about a similar expression toward the nation. But listen to the change that is expressed in the nation's heart and how this applies really to you and to me. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 is what I shall read. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. My, that's true, isn't it? Every true believer can connect with that and say, you know, that's exactly what he did to me. I was dead, but he gave me life. I was blind, but he gave me sight. He changed my life. There's a reference that I offered to you, and it's found in the book of Acts. Let me read it to you. The Apostle Paul, we know he was saved gloriously by the Lord on the road to Damascus, and God gave him a mission. And Paul's recounting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and some of that which was expressed to him. This is the mission of Paul. Do you find change in this? Acts 26, verse 17 and verse 18 is what I read to you. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Here's a change. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Change, my friend. A change. Anybody stands before you today and talks about how you can be in Christ and there's no change in you is giving you a false hope. They're not giving you the truth. Because if you're really in Christ, I guarantee you, my friend, there will be a change. Because if you're in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I also want to make it very clear, as I've given you these examples of change, that the change in salvation does not mean perfection. Do not go out of here and say, well, Pastor Doug said that everybody's perfected. I didn't say that. I believe the Bible teaches what we define or determine as progressive sanctification. we become sanctified and we grow in that sanctification. I said to you in the beginning, I'm not everything I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. God has been making changes in my life from that very time that He saved me until this point, and He'll continue to work in my life until I stand before Jesus Christ, wholly redeemed and in the image of His Son. The fact of the matter is, when you're saved, when you're in Christ, when you're born again, however you want to define it, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're on a new path. Don't you remember reading in the book of Matthew in chapter 7 where it talks about two roads, the broad path that leads to destruction and many there be which go in thereat, and the narrow road which leadeth unto life and few there be that find it. Every lost sinner is on the broad road to destruction. I was on the broad road, but Christ saved me and set me on the narrow road, changed my life forever. I've been changed. I've been changed. But I do want to momentarily discuss, and I ask you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. The third point of the message is, what if there's no real change or no real lasting change? Let me put in that word lasting. 2 Peter chapter 3. What if a person claims to know Jesus Christ, but there's no real lasting change? We have to face that, don't we? We are like the seed on stony ground that received the word with gladness but had no real root. When the trials come, they wither away. There are some that are like that. They hear a little bit about God and they hear a little bit about Christianity and it sounds good to them. They jump in it. They even make professions of faith, but there's no root. It's not real. It's not genuine. And there's no change. There's just outward expression, nothing real in the heart. And so when tribulation comes, when persecution comes, when heartaches come, they leave it behind. That happens. I've asked you to turn to 2 Peter and chapter 3. Notice what Peter says in verse 20. Chapter 2, rather, verse 20. 2 Peter 2, 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now you stop and you say, oh, see, these people, they just lost their salvation is what happened. No, they did not. Proof is what follows. Here's some people that made profession. Here's some people that got on, they received the word with gladness. They're in their stony ground hearers. Now notice in verse 21, he says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You still saying, well, they lost their salvation. No, they did not. Follow the next verse. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing to the mire. What's Peter saying? Peter just simply says, you know what will happen? The dog by nature eats his own vomit. Now, I know that's kind of disgusting, but they do. When I was younger, we had dogs in our house, and our dogs, they would do that. Anyone that has a dog knows that they do that. Some of you are saying, that's why I have a cat. But dogs will do that. The dog will eat its vomit. And the pig. Well, you know what? Pigs like to wallow in the mire. Kind of like rolling out in the mud. Now, I've always been in the city. I'm a city boy. Even small towns. I've just never been a farmer. But I know I've been to some of these country fairs and all that. We had county fairs up in Ohio. You have fairs around here. And you all know how they'll clean up the pig and put a bow on them. They slick them up and all that. And you can get a pig looking really pretty good, can't you? And you think, boy, that's one clean pig. But you know what would happen if you took it out to the farm and let it go? He's not going to sit in the corner and say, oh, I'm clean. I don't want it to get dirty. That pig's going to head right to the mud hole, roll around, slop around, and all of a sudden dirty again. You know why? It's his nature. It's his nature. And so when he says, it happened unto them according to this true proverb, he's just saying these people that have known some truth, they had some expression, they had some sort of profession, but the truth is they never really were changed because their nature remained the same. They're just like the dog that eats his vomit, and they're like the pig that returns to wallowing in the mire. They do according to their nature. The reason they went away is because their nature had never been changed. I say unto you, I've been changed. And I won't go back. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I won't go back. Not if I'm really born again, because I've been changed. But some people have a profession and they do go back. And there's no real lasting change. 1 John chapter 2, I would remind you where John speaks of in verse 19. You remember there was a time, and you'll find it in John chapter 6, but 1 John chapter 2, John makes a reference to this event. Well, but back in John chapter 6, that Jesus had taught during the day, and people didn't like what he had to say. They got all offended at his doctrine, and they got all upset, and they walked away from him, not to follow him anymore. Here's what John said about these people. 1 John 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Kind of clear, isn't it? They were dogs that returned to the vomit. They were pigs that went out to wallow in the mire. How sad that it is. But there are some that do that very thing. Real change perseveres. Real change perseveres. We have imperfections, yes, but the new man presses onward. That new nature that Christ gave me those years ago continues to impress and lead me today. It's the Spirit of God in my heart and my life. God changed me forever. I've been changed. I'm glad for that change. The last thing I want to mention unto you, and turn, if you would, back to the book of Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to offer you three verse references and then two related verses. And I just want to quickly mention before I finish, just a biblical exhortation. Because you might be here saying, well, how do I know that as Christians ought to be the different and ought to live a life that's pleasing to God and all that? How do I know all that? Well, there's just some exhortations. I'm just going to give you three of them. There could have been so many others. But in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 8, well, go back to the John the Baptist once again and the message of which he professed. Here's an exhortation. As those people came to him, he said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. You say you repented? Then show it. You say you're a Christian? Then live it. Bring forth fruits meet or consistent with your profession of repentance. Second verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Biblical exhortation. Do those of us who know Jesus Christ who said, yes, we've been changed, should we continue to pursue that change? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former lifestyle. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Romans chapter 12. Would you read there? Put off the old man, put on the new. If you're saved today, you've been changed because you're in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And there ought to be a difference in your life. Romans chapter 12, last exhortation. I beseech you there, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is just logical. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be different. Be transformed. The word is metamorphosis. You know how a monarch butterfly will go into the cocoon. Well, the worm goes in, comes out a butterfly. It's metamorphosis. And he says you'd be transformed. Out of a new heart, my friend, we should pursue further and lasting change. Yes, I was changed in 1974, but I should pursue it and continue to pursue it. You say, well, I was saved this time and this year. Then you should pursue change because he changed your life and your heart forever. As a matter of fact, here's the reference verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Listen, if you would. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Okay, you've been changed. What should you do? Perfect holiness in the fear of God. The second reference is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Listen, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Have you been changed today? I've been changed. God changed my life forever. In conclusion then, number one, there are no exceptions. All those who've truly been born again have been changed. You say, but I'm saved. I've not had any change. Then the fact is, you're not saved. Does that offend you? It shouldn't. It ought to get your attention. Because if you're truly in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's true for everyone. Secondly, not everyone, and I want to make this very clear before I finish, not everyone will exhibit glaring external changes. I say that because, you know what, when I was saved back in 1974, I was basically a good kid. Now, I was headed downward. I know where my life was going. I know what was in my heart. I know my direction. And I've told you before, and I believe it with all my heart, if God hadn't saved me, I believe I'd be dead by now. There's no way I'd have lived as long as I've lived. I know where I was going, but when I was 15, I was a pretty decent kid. I didn't drink and chew and do drugs and run with those who do and that kind of thing. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. I was a good person. And so when the Lord saved me, when He changed my life, I didn't have to put off a bunch of outward sin. Most of it was inward that nobody saw but God, and I knew it. But it was inward. I didn't have to put off the flesh, and I didn't have to put off drugs, and I didn't have to put off alcohol. I didn't have to put off sex. I didn't have to put off any of that stuff. You know why? Because I didn't do any of that stuff. But I was a sinner. And when He saved me by His grace, and He changed me forever. Changed me. It doesn't have to be glaring changes. You might have been a pretty decent fellow. But I'll tell you, if you're truly saved, there's a change. And you can't deny that change. And that change might be minimal, but it continues to work. You know, I had a stepsister at one time, still do, but never, I haven't seen her in 40 years. I had a stepsister, she thought I was perfect. She told me that one day. She said, "You're perfect." I thought, "You don't know me, do you?" But from outward expression, she thought I was perfect. Well, we're not perfect, are we? Every saved person, however, will exhibit a change because we have been changed. And so I submit unto you that a changed heart does not mean a faultless appearance. I still sin. Spend some time with me, you'll find that out. But I've been changed. And so I say unto you, examine your own life today. Examine your own hearts. Have you been changed? Do you have a new heart? Do you have life? Has God made a difference in you? If not, then today, would you bow the knee to Jesus? Would you repent? Would you call upon Him? Would you believe on Him? Would you be saved? And I guarantee you today, on the authority of God's Word, that if you're in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. I've been changed. Have you? Have you? If not, today I point you to Christ. Would you be saved? Would you let Him change your heart and your life forever? Oh, I pray that you will. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you stand. God's burdening you. God's convicting you. You realize, you know what? I have a profession, but there's never been any change. You realize you're not saved. then right where you are, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon Him that He might save you. You don't have to walk an aisle to be saved. We'll help you. We'll direct you. But right where you are, if you'll repent and believe, He'll give you eternal life. Father in heaven, we commit this time to You today. We ask You to move in every heart. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. And for those of us who are saved, God, cause us to rejoice in the salvation You've given to us and the change that You made and the changes that You continue to make day by day. God, cause us to be made in Your image. Forgive us for our sin where we fall short. So we, Lord, offer this to You, to Your praise and to Your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.